Speak every man what? Truth. Truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Be ye angry, sin not. Let not the sun go down upon your wrath, neither give place to the devil. You can be seated. I'm probably not going to yell at you much, but I do want to teach you something. I want to say, stop lying. If you're lying, stop. The truth, what does the truth do? Sets you free. What else does it do? It hurts sometimes, don't it? Does it ever just hurt you to tell the truth? Yeah, it's tough. It's tough. But we're putting on the new man. We're being sanctified. We're being conformed to the image of his son. So with that, there are some principles and there are some commandments that we need to understand. Christians should not lie. I mean, that's pretty simple, right? You say, well, what kind of lie? Like a Republican lie? Like a half lie? Like a Democrat lie? Are they different? You got to be careful when people tell half-truths because they may tell the wrong half, right? So you got to be really careful leaving things out. I mentioned this before. I want to mention again. I remember one time. I remember more than one time, but this particular time, I didn't want to go to work, and I voiced it, and a guy that I know said, I got an idea. Why don't you just go up to Raleigh General, go into the bathroom, call into work and say, hey, I can't come to work. I'm in a room in the hospital. That's a lot of work to get out of work, you know? I mean, if I want to just make it that bad, I'm just going to call him from here. That's a lot of deceiving there, wouldn't you say? Would you consider that lying? Okay, I'm so glad you are saying yeah, because some people's like, no, I wish I'd have thought of that. That's a great idea. So he tells us to put away lying, speak every man truth with his neighbor, for we are members one of another. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Against who? Against your neighbor. Why? Because we're all in this together. And some people run other people down to try to make themselves look better. And it doesn't work. Amen? All right, here we go. This is the verse that I want to spend some time on. Be ye angry and sin not. So, as I was studying this, I found some people that tried to convince me that that scripture was telling me to be angry. That it was a commandment, be ye angry. I mean, that is what it says, right? But they said that we're supposed to be angry at unrighteousness. So it's a commandment that we should be angry about unrighteousness, but not sin. I want to debunk that thought because what he's saying here is, how many people's angry right now? Everybody's good? Nobody's angry right now? Does anybody walk around in a state of angriness? So, Michael, is it at work most of the time? Yeah. Because anger, the problem is anger is an emotion. Is anger a sin? No, because God gets angry. So if God does it, it can't be a sin, right? Jesus was angry, was he not? And he never did sin. So being angry is not the sin. But he said, and sin not. Be ye angry and sin not. Let me tell you something about angry or getting angry. The only way you can really get angry is if you allow yourself to get angry. It's really on you, right? It's totally up to you. If somebody says something to you, when we were kids, we said, sticks and stones may. But is that true, though? Nah. Words can hurt, can't they? They definitely can hurt. So, I'm rubber, you're glue. What was it? How many people know that? Raise your hand. Y'all are such dorks. Everybody's like, yeah, I know. Man. If you use that, you probably got bullied. Be angry, sin not, let not the sun go down upon your wrath. I know, I read the other day there was this couple that decided, they said they're never going to go to bed angry. And the guy told his buddy, he said, we've been up for 4 days now. All right, so here's the problem. Angry is an emotion. It hits you. If you tell me you don't get angry, then I worry about you. Because there are some things that do and some things that should make us angry. So angry being an emotion is not necessarily a sin. The problem is it's easy for anger to turn into sin. Amen. Like I told you the other day, Tracy said, you know, I love people. And Ian said, yeah, until you're driving. And so in the car, it's me. Did it sound like you? Okay, well, it's me. So I have to pray about that. But if somebody pulls out in front of you, you can get angry, and you cannot sin. You cannot sin, right? Everybody with me? You cannot sin. Now, you can also really destroy your witness. If you are a road rage person, please take the City on the Hill sticker off your car. For our sake. All right, anger's an emotion. You give the emotion fuel, right? Everybody with me? All right, there's a saying. It's been around for a while now. I'm a little old-fashioned, but it said, and I still hear people use it, but you mad, bro? How many people have used that? Anybody? A couple people? Everybody's like, I've never heard it before in my life. Has anybody ever used it on you? The purpose of it, according to the Urban Dictionary, is to make you even more mad than you already are. So if somebody's mad, you say, you mad, bro? And they get worse. You know why they get worse? Because you remind them that they're mad. Let me ask you this. Have you ever been telling a story about something that made you angry, and while you were telling the story, now you're confessing. Everybody's confessing now. And you say, you know what? I'm getting mad right now just telling you about it. Those emotions come back, don't they? Raise your hand if you've ever done that. Okay, yeah, now I'm in your living room. Because what happens is when you remember, you give that emotion life. It's so easy to stir up emotions through memory. Amen. So you're telling the story, the emotion comes up, and you really can feel physical changes in your body while you're telling the story. You'll interrupt yourself. You're like, I'll tell you right now, I was driving there, I got pulled out in front of me, I feel it right now. And it's all what you're giving it, right? All right, be angry. Don't sin. I want to skip down a few verses. We're going to come back. But I want to go to Ephesians 4:31. I want you to watch this. Let all bitterness. Everybody say bitterness. And what? And what? Anger. And what? And what? Be what? All right. He's saying, listen, this stuff needs to be put away from you. So, to debunk what these people are preaching and teaching, that God is commanding us to be angry, why would he tell us right after commanding us to get rid of it? But I want you to notice there's an order here. Let all bitterness and wrath and anger. We're going to deal with those three. We're going to deal with the rest of them later. But right now we're going to deal with it because we got to get to anger. I want to talk to angry people. Where's my signs? Up here? Somebody come up here. Somebody that's angry. Here you go. Johnny, are you angry? Johnny, you're getting angry.
They made me angry.
Why are you saying I'm angry for? I ain't angry. Call me angry again, I'll rip your head off. Easy. Does anybody ever do that? Does anybody ever tell you that out there? Like, what's wrong with you? What's wrong with you? Nothing's wrong with me, but there's about to be. All right, so we got anger. Anger, you get over. You stay right there, anger. Step up here, angry. Come here, wrath. Yeah, you're up here. Y'all, listen, all of y'all exist together, I promise you. Come on, bitterness. You bitter, bro? All right, everybody scoot down. Scoot down. I'm going to teach y'all something really, really neat today. Okay, good. Right there. Okay, I need somebody that is just in a great mood and is doing good tonight and just happy. Come on, Josh. I mean, y'all look at this smile. Turn around, show him. I hate getting him up here because his hair is so nice. All right, so here he is, and I want to let you know, this is the only thing I could use for my illustration. But every one of us have a pipeline that things can get to us. Just hold that like you're holding it. Yeah, there you go. Like, hold it. There you go. All right. There are ways that things get to us, right? If I hear a certain type of music, a certain beat, I drive faster. Anybody? Yep. Anybody? Okay. Everybody. All right. So there's certain pipelines that can get to us. Now here's what happened. Smile again. All right. You're doing good. You're doing good until this emotion comes along. And so what this emotion does is when it comes, and I'm telling you, it can hit you unexpectedly. It can get you out of absolutely nowhere. There were some people that were going to church here one time, and I seen them at Walmart. And they were walking across, you know, the little area that you have to slow down. And I said, I'm going to speed up and see what they do. And so I did. And that lady went, slow down, stupid. I pulled up and I said, wow. Oh, we didn't know it was you. I said, you do now. Yeah, she did. I'm sorry, but that's what she said. All right, so here's what happened. Now, anger, smile's gone. Now, stop.
That's
going to
be really hard.
No, just stop. I'm going to have to trade you for somebody grouchy. Come here, Dave. All right, so it attaches itself to you, and when it does, you got a choice. You can give this a lot of power. You can dwell on this. You can replay it. And I want to tell you this. Psychology teaches us that in every argument that a man and a woman gets into, the woman loses. Okay? That's what psychology teaches us. Do you want me to tell you why? Because you replay it over and over and over and over. Half the time at our house, Tracy can't find her phone. She's like, where's my phone? But she can remember things that I have said 25, 30 years ago. I didn't even know her then. She can remember that stuff. Because you know what? When you make people feel a certain way, listen, ladies, I hate to tell you, but guys are dumb. And we forget. We don't replay it. We forget. 15 minutes later, we walk in there and it's like, hey, you want to go get something to eat? And that you're like, are you kidding me? We've done forgot. And so this is good teaching, because we really are that bad. Guys, say amen. We're like, hey, babe, you want to go somewhere? Go somewhere. Can I tell the story? Please. Please. This is a good one. When me and Tracy first got married, I bit her in my sleep. I bit her arm. And I had no idea. I had no idea it happened. I went to work, came back home, and she was sitting in the kitchen. And she looked at me. I said, what's wrong with you? Like, you don't know. I said, no, seriously, what is it? Oh, you know exactly what. I was like, I really don't know. You bit my arm. I said, for real? I had absolutely no. So all day long, I was in a good mood. She thought, I don't know what I was doing. But anyway, I bit her arm. Let me tell you what happens with this. Replay it over and over and over. And if you tell the story about the time you were angry, it'll find its way right back to you right now. Am I teaching you right? And if you dwell on it, it's really going to tear you up. Because here's the problem. This guy doesn't come along. All right, angry means to be upset. It's an emotion. But notice what he does here. He puts them in order from bitterness, wrath, and anger, right? Because with anger comes wrath. All right, if you don't get rid of the anger now, wrath comes with it. Because what this is, anger is an emotion and you're upset. Wrath, if you look this up, take time to look it up, it means to the boiling point. Anybody ever been there? Yeah, the boiling point. Has anybody ever looked at your kids and said, I am fed up to, I have no idea what that means. I'm fed up to here. I am fed up to here. You know what that, well, I guess it means that you're done. Like you're the thermometer and up here it's done. But there comes a point when you get to a boiling point. Anybody been there? All right, so you got a choice. Because I promise you, these aren't far apart from each other. We got to understand this. Because God's trying to teach us how to be children of God. And we're running around saying, it's all right for me to be angry because Jesus took a whip. And he went in there and he ran him out of the... And we use that for an excuse for us to go whipping people that haven't made their father's house a den of thieves. We just use it for an excuse because Jesus got mad. We can be. He's saying, you know what? Let all of this be put away from you. Let all of this be put away from you. But it starts with anger. And then wrath comes in. And wrath attaches itself. Thank you. Now this guy right here is totally different. This guy's totally different. Because let me tell you what you can do. You can control anger. You can get rid of it. Watch this. If he gets rid of the pipeline right now, guess what happens? Yeah. Quit looking at it. You let it go, man. Quit looking at it. Good. Pick it back up. If all he's got to do is let go of the anger. Right? Because this guy's coming. And you know, here's what scares me. You know what really scares me? This has ruined marriages. It's ruined churches. It's ruined family, father-son relationships, mother-daughter, father-daughter. This bitterness has ruined a lot of stuff. And that's why we got to understand it's not just okay to be, well, I'm okay. I'm just a little angry. He says, don't let the sun go down upon your wrath. Do you know what that means? That means you need to get rid of the anger quick. That means, I used to hear this saying, well, you know what they say? They're really mad. Well, they can get glad in the same pants they got mad in. You know what that means? They can do it the same day. Before they change clothes, they can go ahead and be glad in it. Right? So here's what you got to do. You got to get rid of this as soon as possible. You don't have the luxury to walk around with anger in your life. You know how many people I know are angry and they justify it? You know how many people have hate in their heart and they justify it? You know how many Christians have issues with people for crazy reasons and they justify it? I'm here to tell you, we serve a God of love, we serve a God of peace, and we serve a God of long-suffering and kindness, and we don't have no place for that in the kingdom. Because what it does is there's a thing, they're attached to it. Here he comes. Now the preacher preached, I need to get rid of this anger before it starts boiling over. I love people that think about what to say 2 days after it happened. You know what I'm talking about? Like something happens to them and then they go, you know what I should have said? Well, when'd you think of that? Just a minute ago. Wish I'd have thought of it 2 days ago. They think about it later. And then when they think about it later and they're telling you a story, they get mad again. You got to be really careful with this. Because I want to read you a scripture. I know we know the scripture, but I want to read it to you again. You ready? Well, let me tell you this first. Colossians 3:21. Listen to this. Colossians 3:21. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger. Provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. Discouraged. Tracy used to use the scripture on me all the time because I'd pick with the kids, and I'd pick with them, and they'd get mad. And how many of you dads, like when you know you're getting them, you're like, right? Doug and Aaron smiling. What about the rest of you dads? Let me see. I see y'all. And Tracy's like, Damon, provoke not your children to anger. I'm like, man, that's not. I wish you didn't know that scripture. Lest they be discouraged. Listen to this warning. Listen to this. For a bishop, this is Titus 1:7. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, not self-willed, not soon angry, not given to wine, no striker, not given to filthy lucre. All right? Slow to anger. We should all be slow to anger. Right? James 1:19-20. Are y'all getting tired up here? Are y'all mad at me? Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to. Man, I'm going to tell you right now, if we were that, the world would be a better place. Because you know what we are? We're slow to hear and swift to speak. When somebody else is talking, you're not listening. You're thinking about what you're getting ready to say the whole time they're talking. He said, every man swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath. Verse 20. For the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. You say, well, it's righteous indignation. The righteousness of God is not worked through the wrath of man. You being angry and holding out is not going to help you. Look at the person beside you and say, it ain't going to help you. Look back and say, I'm serious. Just make sure they're listening. Because this guy right here has a lot of people in bondage. And you don't get here, Brittany, until you first start out here. You don't get bitter unless you first get angry. And you know what's really awesome? You can let go of this anger. You can let go of it. The problem is, the Bible says that bitterness is a root. Bitterness is a root. It springs up. So when bitterness comes, I want you to notice this. You don't have bitterness. Bitterness has you. Because it's a root. It plants itself. And when it plants itself, that's yours. When it plants itself, now we're in trouble because we're bitter about things that have happened umpteen years ago that have absolutely no bearing on our life, but the enemy has used it. I have seen people get bitter toward a church and walk away from Jesus. And somehow they make that the church's fault. I'm teaching you this for this reason. If you get angry, you need to deal with the anger. Do you know if you come to the altar and you bring a sacrifice and you think that your brother has an ought against you, if you think your brother's angry at you, when should you fix it? Next church service? Now let me tell you how immediate this is. He said, get up from the altar. Go to them and make it right. Get rid of it. Get rid of it while it's here before it ever turns into this. So he said, you make that right. You leave. Don't even stay at the altar. You leave right now. It's up to you. It's up to us. If you've got this in your life for any reason, tonight's a good night to be here. When I was in school, we did this psychology class. And the videos that we watched was, they told you to go back. These people closed their eyes, and they was like, go back to your inner child, you know, and find out where you were hurt. And they wanted you to look inside, and tell whoever it was that hurt you. And I remember the video. There was people, and they had these pool floaties, those little foam floaties, and they're beating on a chair, and they're screaming at their dad, and they're saying, I hate you for not being there for me, and I hate you, and I hate you. Let me tell you what hate's going to do for you. Nothing. There's a way out of all that, and it's called forgiveness. You can carry all this around. It's really hard to worship while you're carrying all this around. It's really hard to get in the presence of God carrying all this around. Because you get so bitter. Some people are oblivious. There's some people you don't like and they don't even know it. And you know who comes out ahead in that? They do. You see them out and you're like, they're like, hey. Because you know what ignorance is? Bliss. They're just bopping on. They don't know you can't stand them. They don't even care. Here you are carrying it around, probably something that really didn't even matter. This will get us. This will get us. And you'll do things because you're bitter. And the whole time, you can get rid of it. Amen. This is what he's telling us. He said, get this stuff out. Get it out of you. Get it out of you. What? Get what? Bitterness. Get it out of you. Wrath and, here, just give me the whole thing. Give me the whole pipeline. See, look, he's doing better already. Because when you get that out of your heart, you know what happens to you? You're free. You're free. You know how to get rid of an enemy? Forgive him. Make him your friend. Right? You can do that. If you got something, I don't know, maybe this ain't for all of us. Maybe this ain't for everybody. But as I'm preparing for this sermon, Christy, I drove different today. I want to work on me because I don't want Ian doing that. You know? Tracy used to tell me that. Do you want your kids to drive like you drive? Do you want your kids to drive? I tried to do better. And, man, we had an awesome storm, didn't we? We just trudged right through it. And I was like, Lord, if they need to come over. I just told you, I said, hey, come on over. Just go. But I was like, hey, come on over. But just go. But you know what? You carry that stuff around, and it can be passed down. Raise your hand if you hate cats. No, seriously, it's okay. I know there's people. Raise your hand real high if you hate cats. Look around. Look around, people. All right, now, if you had your hand up and your mom or dad hates cats, put your hand back up. Oh, look at this. Look at this passed down from generation to generation. Feline hate. It is so easy to pass it down. But there comes a point that whatever it is, listen, I ain't worried about cats. I'm just saying there's some things that are passed down that you need to get rid of so it doesn't get passed down any farther. Man, I hope we're hearing this because it's important because you need the joy of the Lord in your life. Amen? If you're going to lead worship, we don't need you bitter. Amen? So when you sing a good song on Sunday and somebody don't stand up, and raise their hand if you put all that time to it. Don't get bitter. Y'all don't think that's real? That's real. I have preached sermons before and got mad at people. It's true. I was preaching a revival and a pastor came to visit and he was sitting right in there playing with his grandbaby while I was preaching. I was like, dude, next time you preach, I'm not listening either. I didn't say that out loud, but that's what went through my head. You know what that did? You know how much good that did me? None. None. So who needs prayer tonight? Come on, y'all ready to sing a song? Nobody's going to come to this altar call because you don't want no people to know you're mad. You know, she just told yourself, I'll pray about this at home when nobody can see me. I'm going to deal with this on a personal level. But what about bitterness? What about wrath? What about anger? Somebody did you wrong and you still remember it. And you know what you said? I'll forgive them, but I won't forget it. If you said it like that, you didn't forgive them. Did you? Oh, I won't forget. Just because I'm a Christian don't mean I have to be a punching bag. And you're walking around with that, and I'm telling you right now, how is it, Eddie? What is it you say? Bitterness is like you drinking poison, hoping the other person dies. And you know who it's eating up? It's eating you up. He said, get rid of it. Get rid of it. Get rid of it. I'm angry about this, and I'm angry about that, and I'm angry about. Maybe you know what? You got a temper. Let me tell you something about tempers, and I believe this with all my heart. A friend of mine had a horrible temper. He'd fly off the handle in a minute. And I heard his cousin say something to him one time that was so awesome. He said, man, you got a temper. He said, yeah, I do. He said, a man without a temper ain't worth a dime, buddy. He went, that's right. He said, but a man that can't control it ain't worth a nickel. His little balloon popped, and I was like, man, that's really good. That's really good. Quick-tempered, you can't be like that. You need to get rid of it. Slow to anger. Slow to anger. Anybody need help with that? Because we want to pray with you. Now, if you come up here to get prayer, I want you to really mean it. So you know what? I got an issue. We all got issues. Listen, I confess mine. I'm praying. For all those people in Ohio, I'm praying. Here he is. We're going to help him. Confession's good for the soul, John. Thank you. I want him to walk out of here a better man. I want him to walk out here lighter.